to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
Hallelujah. We're glad you're here today, and we invite you to come back Sunday mornings at 10, like you're here, if you're a visitor, and then also Wednesday nights at 7. We have services at, for youth and young people and all sorts of things, and so praise the Lord. I want to say also that the sound men were quite a vital part of the choir being sounding right and everything as well. It takes more sound men, more channels and all of that, and so we want to recognize them as well. They did a good job. Amen. Appreciate them. We usually don't say anything about them unless they're messing up, but we want to say something about them because they're doing a good job. It's a terrible thing that we treat you all so bad, but anyway, but we appreciate them. If you brought your Bible, I want you to go with me to the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. We're going to share some things I've had stirring in my heart. In the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, we'll start in verse number 1, but I just want to talk about some keys to receiving God's best. There's different degrees of the blessings of God that come into our lives. I want His best blessings. I don't know about you. I assume you do also. But some of the things we're going to share here this morning will be keys about this. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, talking to Christians, brethren or Christians, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, or some translations say spiritual worship. You know, what we do with our bodies is part of our worship. Yes. Amen. Then he said, be not conformed to this world. Pressure out there to think a certain way, to act a certain way, and to believe a certain way. But he said, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, say this out loud, good. The second one is acceptable. And third, perfect will of God. Amen. Don't be conformed to this world, be transformed, and you can prove out what is, by the renewing of your mind, be transformed by the renewing of your mind to prove out what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Amen. You know, just because he's writing to Christians, didn't he say in verse 1, I beseech you, brethren? Just because we got saved doesn't mean our minds have gotten saved yet. We have to learn to think right according to the Scriptures, and the way that happens is by, you know, if you study the Bible carefully, the Word of God. You know, James talks about it, James 1, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. He's talking to Christians and said, your souls aren't saved yet. Amen. So he said, receive the word, which is able to save your soul. Our minds are renewed by receiving the word of God. So that's what he's talking about. And he said, be transformed. Your life will be transformed by this. Most Christians haven't thought about the fact that when they got saved, that was just the doorway into what God has for them. That was not everything. It's not get saved and just sort of live your life until you go to heaven. There is that getting saved is good. How many of you know we need to get saved? But good is not far enough for me. I want to go on into the King James says here, the acceptable and then the perfect will of God. Getting saved is good, but if you're going to get saved, don't stand at the doorway and just think you got it all. There's something, there's what he calls here perfect. And if you look up the word perfect, we won't get into it all right now, but another way you can define perfect is complete. Complete. And there's a whole lot more that we'll get into in future, maybe tonight. We'll just have to see how the Lord leads us tonight, but because we've got the minister's mantle. But he said here, there's the perfect will of God. Getting saved is good, but come on in to the best God has for you. Getting saved is a ticket to heaven, but you can be saved and live defeated down here. That's not God's best. God has something better than that. But it doesn't come through just getting saved. It comes through being. He mentioned here two things, presenting your body, and then also being renewed, transformed by the renewing of our minds. And he said by the renewing our mind, we progress from the good to the acceptable. Now, some translations, I looked this word acceptable up just to see if I understand it correctly. And the acceptable means permissive or permissible. There's things God will permit you to experience in life, but it's still not his best. Amen. There's some things that are better. There's some things. There's good, better, and best. Yeah, we've heard that. Good, better, and best. I want to have not just the good, not just the better. I want to have the best. Somebody said, that's not important to you. Well, let me say something to you about your Heavenly Father. It is important to Him. Very important to Him. He loves you that good. That much that He wants you to experience His best. And He's made a way for that to happen. Amen? And so we're going to address this morning. And in order to illustrate a lot of things, we're going to talk about the difference between good, better, and best in the area of physical healing. But I want you not to just kind of limit it to that. I want you to kind of realize that I'm talking about this concerning your whole life, every area of your life. Amen. And so when it comes to healing, for example, healing is good, but it's not God's best. Go over with me to the book of Exodus, and we'll just look at this right now. In the book of Exodus, chapter 23, God mentions His covenant to the Old Testament people, and He mentions what is available to them in that covenant. Exodus 23, He mentions in verse number, let's start in verse number 25, "You shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill." So when He says, take sickness away from the midst of thee, if that were the case, there wouldn't be any among us sick. You ever stop to think about that? In other words, this isn't divine healing here. Divine healing is good. Amen. But this is something better than good. This is something called, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. Sickness away from the midst of us is divine health, not divine healing. It's divine health. Amen. So if we don't preach God's best, people won't even know it's available. Because not many people experience what we're going to talk about here when it comes to divine health, that doesn't mean that it's not available. Tell your neighbor, it doesn't matter if I've ever seen this or not. We see it in the Bible. Amen. Then if there's sickness is taken away from the midst of us, there wouldn't be any among us sick. Isn't that right? This is divine health. People sometimes think, well, that's setting the bar too high. You know, I mean, that's quite, that's, I don't know about that. But see, I didn't set it. God set the bar up there. He said, this is the potential you have down here in this life. There's something better than being healed of sickness. Now, don't misunderstand me. Being healed of sickness is better than not being healed of sickness. So I'm not saying that's not good, but I'm just simply saying there's something better. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And so we're not setting the bar that high. God set the bar that high. And when it comes to finances, let's think about finances. He didn't say, you know, my best is that you always have your the payment for your house, or that you always have your car payment on time and everything. That's good. Don't misunderstand me. And there is absolutely no condemnation there. But he said, actually, his best was, when we look at Deuteronomy 28, when he talks about redeeming them from the curse of the law and all these blessings would come on thee, he said they would lend and not borrow.
That's it. Amen. That's right. Hey.
Which one's better? Which one's better? Hallelujah. Yeah, all day and on Sunday, too. That's better. That's better. Well, I don't know. I you know, that's kind of setting the bar high. Well, number one, I didn't set it. Number two, if we don't preach it, people won't reach for it. Hallelujah. They won't shoot for it. And if they don't shoot for it, they'll never rise up and have it. Amen. I said amen. And when it comes to healing, for example, or divine health, like he mentioned in this verse, you can live out, what he's saying is you can live out your whole life down here without sickness and disease and fall asleep in Jesus without sickness and disease. Amen. It doesn't matter if you don't know anybody that's ever gotten that. Amen. But everybody can rise. Every believer can rise up to that potential. Not everybody will. Don't misunderstand me. But see, you and I shouldn't be basing our doctrine on and setting our goals based on what other people experience. We should be setting our goals based on what's available, what we see is in the Bible. Somebody said, well, what if I don't get it? Well, you can join my club. I haven't gotten it all the time. But I'm not basing my doctrine on my experience.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. And besides, what if you shoot for it and you get half of it? That's better than not getting any of it. Let's go for it. What do you say? I said, let's go for it. And so we've got to hear this. Regardless of what anybody else does, as far as for me, I'm going for God's best. Hallelujah. Well, what if you don't get it? Well, I'll get more of it shooting for it than I ever would not shooting for it. Yes. Hallelujah. We shouldn't be focused on what other people get anyway. Even if somebody you respect spiritually doesn't get God's best in an area, don't change your doctrine because of their experience. They're not the authority on the subject. God's word is the authority on the subject. God's word is the authority on the subject. Amen. Bring your experience up to match the word. Don't get discouraged. Don't blame God if somebody else didn't receive God's best. The Bible said the secret thing belongs to the Lord. There are things in people's lives sometimes you don't know. Like sometimes we found this out working in healing school, for example. Sometimes people are publicly confessing the word, but in private they're making their funeral plans. Well, see, their actions reveal what they really believed. You understand? So yeah, don't throw out the word just because somebody didn't get what you're believing for. You don't know really what belongs, that secret thing that maybe they didn't share with everybody. Am I still making any sense? So don't blame God. Don't get discouraged. It doesn't mean it's not available to you just because somebody else didn't experience. Just go for it. Well, I'm elderly, you know. And, you know, everybody's got to die of something. Who said so? People that think they're intelligent, they come and they say, well, I mean, if you never were sick, how would you die? Well, don't display your ignorance of the Bible in public like that. Just be best to be quiet and smile. Act like you're not dumb like that. You don't have to have sickness and disease to die. Well, it's appointed unto every man a time to die. No, that's not what the Bible said. It didn't say a time. It said once. You're not going to live forever, unless Jesus comes, of course. But no, there. You don't have to. You know, when your day, you know, God picked, you know, whatever, August 13th, 2057, or I don't know, just picking something out of the air. And when that day comes, your gig's up. I mean, you're just done. You're going to croak. You know. And how do I know that that's not my day? You know, my day hadn't come. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible said there's things you can do to lengthen your life, like children obey your parents in the Lord, that'll be long. You'll live long on the earth. You read very carefully in the Bible. There's things you can do to lengthen your life, shorten your life. And it doesn't say there's a day. It says there's a season. In other words, there's a season of time. You get into that season. How many of you know it's not 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75?
Come on.
Actually, God said his season's 120. Yeah. And that never changed in the Bible. You can't see where God revamped that and said, you know, they're not living as long, so we'll change it to 70 or 80. Well, no, you read that 70 or 80 over there in Psalms, what people go to. That was Moses talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness dying at 70 or 80. Somebody said, I never heard any preaching like this. Well, no wonder then nobody's living till they're and living in divine. That's the reason we got to hear this. Amen. Well, I'm elderly, you know, and you know, well, let's go ahead and get healed, then die if you want to. Amen. Leave a good testimony. Leave a good testimony. Brother Hagin talked about a grandma in his church. I don't remember which church it was. He had an elderly lady, 82 years old, and at 82, the doctor diagnosed her with stomach cancer and only gave her, by the time the doctor diagnosed it, because they didn't know what it was at first, only gave her a few days to live at the age of 82. Except, brother, this is Sister Ratcliffe in Brother Hagin's church. And so Brother Hagin started going to her house, and he started just putting the word into her. He said two or three times a week he'd go to her house, just start putting the word into her. Just keep putting the word into her. Eventually, she got strong enough to go to his Saturday night, actually, healing service. He had a Saturday night healing service. She'd show up, and she'd be in those Saturday night healing services. That went on for, I think, 6 months. She had been given days, but here she is 6 months. She's just hanging on. And Brother Hagin just kept on preaching the word. And he said that she'd be in that Saturday night healing service. And every now and then he said she'd gasp and you thought, there she is, she died on us. He said she'd just, she'd have a spell, you know. And everybody thought, well, Sister Ratcliffe just went. She just went to heaven. Except she'd sputter back, you know, and get back. She'd she'd come out of it. And she just kept on living. Brother Hagin said one of those Saturday night services, he's preaching along, and he said, looked up at her, and he saw, Paul in Acts 14, he was preaching, and he saw a man, he looked at a man, beheld he had faith to be, he could tell he had faith to be healed. Brother Hagin said, I looked on Sister Ratcliffe's face, and on her face was I could see she had faith to be healed. So Brother Hagin just said to her, Grandma, he called her Ma, actually, Ma, everybody knew who Ma was, you know. Ma, I wouldn't be surprised, he said. Within just a few minutes, you're up and dancing around here like a 16-year-old. And he finished his sermon, and he laid hands on the sick. He laid hands on her. And went down the rest of the healing line. And by the time he's done, he had to look over because there was shouting on one side of the auditorium. And he looked over there. There's Ma dancing like a 16-year-old. Completely healed. Stomach cancer gone. Went back to the same doctor. All the cancer's gone. 82 years old. And she lived, actually, when Brother Hagin, Brother Hagin went to his daughter's house. I think she lived with her daughter. But he went to his daughter's house to visit her years later. Brother Hagin said they calculated she would have been 91 years old. Wanted to go see her. Because they had moved away, weren't pastoring her anymore. I think she'd be 91. So they went by. They wanted to stop in and see her. And they knocked on the door, and this lady's daughter answered the door and said, well, good to see you. You know, they knew her as well. But, where's Sister Ratcliffe? Oh, Brother Hagin, you know her. She's out visiting relatives. She's not here now. She took a bus, and she's halfway across the country. Just traveling. And Brother Hagin said, well, good to hear she's doing well. Yes, the daughter said she just had a physical right before she left. She's 91 years old now, you know. Not just had a physical before she left. And the doctor said everything's perfect. No problems with her stomach. Her heart's perfect. Her kidneys are perfect. Everything's perfect. And the doctor went on to say, he said, now I'm 50. The doctor said, I'm 55 years old. And he said, I sure hope I'm that strong when I'm 50, when I'm her age. As a 55-year-old today, I'm not as strong as she is at 91 years old. And so she lived, that was at 91. She lived until she was 93. And she died sitting up in bed praising God without any sickness or disease. Now that's the way to go. That's the way to go. Well, you know, I'm getting older and I'm getting the hoogamoogas and I'm getting I'm getting a lot of problems, you know. Well, get healed of them. It's available. Tell your neighbor it's available. Hallelujah. So this is God's best. This is God's best. Divine health. She not only got healed, she went on to have divine health. She started late, but yet right on the other hand, she went on to get it. It's not too late. Tell your neighbor it's not too late. Hallelujah. Today, what we're talking about is God's best. There's something other than laying on of hands and healing, or laying on of hands and the healing anointing, being imparted for divine healing. There's something better than that. And we're going to focus on that if you can handle it. Hallelujah. 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 You remember Isaiah 1:19 says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. The good of the land, most translations say, the best of the land. Amen. According to what we read there, there's good, better, and best. And we'll look at some other verses, but I'm talking about Romans there. There's good, better, and best. Now, what is the best when it comes to physical healing? Or it's the best is divine health. There is a place in God you and I can walk where Satan can't even touch us. Amen. Go to 1 John. Go to 1 John. And this is just one verse. You know I can't get this all out in one service. But let's get a little of it here. 1 John 5, look at verse number 18. Just one of these verses. 1 John 5, 18. We know that whatsoever is born of God. Anyone in here born of God? Whatever is born of God, or whoever is born of God, sinneth not. Now, that doesn't mean you can't sin. He's just talking about ongoingly practicing it. You can't do that with a clear conscience. Sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, and by the way, you realize, when he said, let me back up and say this, whatever is born of God sinneth not, he's talking about your spirit man. A lot of times, whenever you do something in the flesh, your spirit man didn't do that. He's trying to get you not to do that. So it wasn't him that sinned. So that's another way of looking at that. But I just thought I'd share that. But whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Now, if you study the Bible, sickness and disease is of the wicked one. Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus, now that the Holy Ghost and power went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God is with him. Sickness is satanic oppression. Jesus healed that woman bowed over the spirit of infirmity. She ought to be loosed, he said, whom Satan hath bound all these years. It was Satan. Sickness is called satanic oppression in the Bible. It's not a blessing in disguise from God. It wasn't a part of God's original creation. It got in through man's sin. Amen. And guess what? If it got in through man's sin, then it went out through the redeemer of man, the one who redeemed man from sin. If we're redeemed from sin, we're redeemed from all of its effects. Now listen, that does not include physical death. We will die physically. That is yet to come. But it does include the infirmities of our body while we are living down here on this earth. Amen. Awfully quiet in here. Well, then here's the best. Here's God's best, is that wicked one touches us not. Tell your neighbor, the Bible says there's a place where the devil can't even touch you. Isn't that right? Isn't that what the devil said about Job? God said, I see you got your heart set on Job. If you read the actual Hebrew, it doesn't say, the Greeks, I mean, the King James says, hast thou noticed my servant Job, or something like that. That's not what the Hebrew said. The Hebrew said, I see, God said to the devil, I see you've got your, basically we say today, you've got your crosshairs on Job. Job said, yeah, I can't get to him, though. He said, there's a hedge around him. That's Old Testament. If they could live that way under the Old Testament and live without sickness and disease, because when that hedge was removed, Satan could get to him with sickness and disease. So he was living with that hedge, which protected him from sickness and disease, amongst other things. If they could live in the Old Testament and didn't even have the law without sickness and disease and live behind a hedge where Satan couldn't get to them, and we have a better covenant established upon better promises, which the Bible said we do. I said the Bible said we do. Then how much more should we be able to live without sickness and without disease, and live out our full length of days, and live all the way till we're done, and die without sickness and disease?
Hallelujah.
Somebody said, how would you die without sickness or disease? Well, you'd basically, the Bible said, the body without the spirit is dead. It's called in the Bible, we don't have time to get into all this, but it's called in the Bible the death of the righteous. There's a specific way that the righteous are to die, and that's not through sickness and disease. Now, some do. That doesn't mean they don't go to heaven, but I'm saying there's a better way. And we're shooting for the best. Tell your neighbor we're shooting for the best. And that is just simply to leave your body. The body without the spirit is dead. If you leave your body, then your body would fall over dead. We call it dead. The word death just means separation. There's three kinds of death in the Bible. One's physical death. That's separation of the body from the spirit and the soul. There's spiritual death. That's separation of man's spirit from fellowship with God. Then there's a second death. That's forever eternal separation from the presence of God. Amen. That's for people that die physically in spiritual death. That's a quick synopsis of a whole lot of scriptures. But the point is, the best is you can just die without sickness or disease, or just live without sickness and disease. Amen. So it's available. Tell your neighbor it's available. We're shooting for God's best. It's not normal for Christians to be sick. Someone said, yeah, but the surveys show. Yeah, I'm not talking about surveys. I'm talking about from the Bible. The Bible does not say it's normal for Christians to be sick. And we should not accept it as such. We should not accept, well, that's just normal, you know, we get what everybody else gets. Brother Hagin said in all his years of ministry, he said he finally realized later on in life, he said, there's so much more sickness in the body of Christ today. And the Lord spoke to him and said, yeah, the reason is because they don't live separated lives like they did back there in the earlier part. He said back there in the early days, it's rare for anybody to have a terminal disease at church. Just rare. Well, you can't open the door to the devil and not have problems with the devil. People don't connect it sometimes. But there's several reasons Christians are sick. Now, listen, you got to hear this because people get confused about what I'm saying. People say, well, he's preaching to everybody that's sick has sin in their life. Well, that's not what I said. That's what you thought I said, but that's not what I said. There's three reasons. You could put them into three categories, basically, why Christians are sick. Number one, they just don't know what belongs to them. And I mean this with all the love in my heart. Our dear denominational friends have not been taught this. They've been taught, God puts sickness on you to teach you something, and they've been taught a lot of different things like that. But you can't find that in the Bible. And like I said, I wish I could take time to do the whole teaching on it, but you don't see Jesus for any time he was walking the earth putting sickness on anybody. Yeah, but the Bible says over in 1 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 11, God will turn people over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Well, when you study the whole counsel of that, it wasn't God that did that. It was basically them continuing and persisting in sin and God saying, I cannot protect you anymore in that arena because you're on the devil's territory. So I've been hedging you here, but I can't do that anymore. It's not him that put it on them. It's that he's no longer protecting them. Because if he were to protect them, he'd have to violate his own word. And we'll get into that if you can hold on. I know there's a lot of questions. People get questions start rising up. What about this? What about that? I can't get to it all this morning. But there's mainly three reasons why Christians are sick. Number one, people that just don't know what belongs to them because they haven't been taught. They've been taught salvation is the remission of sin, and it certainly is. That's the big one. If you're going to get any of them, get that one. But that's only one part of salvation. The same word translated saved is also translated in the Greek healed. I mean, in the English, it's the same word in the Greek, but in the English, it's translated, that same word translated saved is translated healed. Right. Amen. Hallelujah. So really, it's a package deal. Saved doesn't just mean delivered from sin or having our sins remitted or being reborn and getting a ticket to heaven. Saved means saved. Saved. Saved from what? Saved from anything that the devil or the curse brought into our lives. So people don't know that. They haven't been taught that, number one. Now, number two, they don't know how to take advantage of it. Jesus said to the woman with the issue of blood, your faith has made you whole. And that's something that Christians have to learn, how to receive it by faith. Then the third reason Christians are sick is because, and it doesn't mean that anybody is any one of these categories. The Lord knows each situation. I don't know each situation. But the third one is because they're in disobedience. Isaiah 1:19, if you be willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. That means in the Hebrew, if you look it up, it means the best. A lot of translations will say that, the best that there is. You'll get God's best. In other words, it won't be the good or the permissible. You'll get the perfect. In other words, you won't get part of God's will. You'll get it all. You'll get it all. Remember I said it means complete. The word perfect means complete. If you go over into 1 Corinthians 11, I believe it is, when he says, now we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away. Same Greek word there translated perfect, translated here in Romans 12, 2, perfect, good, acceptable, perfect. And there he defines perfect as something that's complete as opposed to something that's only in part. So when we talk about the perfect will of God, we're talking about getting it all. Not just part of God's will, which is healing, but the best, getting it all. Get it all. What's all? All is divine health. Divine health. Sickness won't even be amongst us. Well, I've not arrived to that. Well, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't change anything. You know, some people don't get saved, but that doesn't mean it's not God's will. Some people get saved and live bound by sin their whole life. That doesn't mean it's God's will. And just because somebody's sick their whole life doesn't mean that's God's will. You can't tell God's will by somebody's experience. You cannot do it. You have to go to the Bible. Their experience is not God speaking to us. The Bible is God speaking to us. Even if it's somebody you respect in God. I ain't going to, but if I were to croak this afternoon at 2 o'clock, none of you should change your doctrine. Well, you should all say, no, it's the will of God for all us to be well, live out our life. I ain't going nowhere, so don't worry about it. I'm just making a point. I'm just making a strong point. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, so the Bible tells us the good, acceptable, or permissible. I wish we could get into that. Maybe tonight we'll get into that permissible a little bit more. That's what it means. If you look up the word acceptable, it just simply, we actually use acceptable in our vernacular two different ways. We need to use it negatively and positively. You might say, well, that's acceptable. In other words, they did a good enough job. We'll give them the raise or whatever. There's a thousand things it could mean. That's acceptable. Or acceptable is used in a negative term. You know, means barely enough. It's just enough. You know, in other words, I mean, you know, they set off nuclear bombs and they say there's levels of acceptable radiation. You can't go beyond the acceptable level. That's in a negative thing. In other words, don't go any further than this, you know. So there's two ways. I think Paul is using it here in a negative sense. In other words, it's barely good enough. It's barely good enough. In other words, okay, we'll let them in. You know, my English teacher in high school, Miss Weiser, she gave me an upgrade one time. I was right on the line from getting a D, and she just ticked me up to a C. I always have liked her. You know, the funny thing, my dad about 3 years ago told me she died and went on to heaven, and I keep getting Christmas cards from her. So she's alive, praise the Lord. I don't think heaven's sending Christmas cards, but anyway, I just thought I'd let y'all in on a little secret. Miss Weiser's still with us. But here's the thing. That was just barely acceptable. That grade I got, just barely acceptable. And she just kind of bumped me over, kind of nudged me over. Well, anyway, I'll just get into that maybe later on. The Lord spoke to me one time a while back, and I'm just going to read this. He said, if my people are going to move beyond divine healing into my perfect will, which is divine health, they're going to have to move beyond just being saved and become a disciple. That hit. Did you hear that hit? Boom, it hit. Going to have to move beyond just being saved and become a disciple. That means they're going to have to continue in the teachings of Jesus. Now, John 8, 31, 32 says that. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. That's not just getting saved. That's more than getting saved. Isn't that right? And you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In other words, there's some things you're not going to be free from just because you got saved. I mean, legally, judicially, you were redeemed from it the moment you got saved. But you're going to have to walk this thing out with a walk with God that'll show you how to walk in that. Because there's a manward side and a Godward side to everything. So I'll keep on reading here. He said, that means they're going to have to continue in the teachings of Jesus, following them, renewing their mind, getting the word in them. This things people, some Christians don't know anything about. Renewing their mind, getting the word in them, what's that all about? Renewing their mind, getting the word in them, they must become a doer of all the light that comes to them through the word. That means they're going to have to develop their spirits and their fellowship with me in the spirit so that I can communicate with them concerning all these things. I don't know if you got that or not, but there's a whole lot of people that want to get saved but don't want to do what I just said. They just want a ticket to heaven, and then they want to live the way they want to live. Amen. This is why you need a good local church. So you can be washed continually in the water of the word. It's by hearing the word constantly that you keep yourself in position to receive God's best. Notice the way I said that, in position to receive God's best. There's a place where these things flow freely. And there's a place outside of God's perfect will that these things don't flow as freely. You and I have to keep ourselves in position, not through works. You got help in this. You and I have help. It's the help of the Holy Spirit, the greater one on the inside of us. Amen? Now, Luke 5:15 and then 6:17 says they came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. You realize that judicially you've already been healed, like I said. It's already been provided for, but there's your and my side. There's things we've got to hear. There's things we've got to hear. It's not just come and have somebody pray for us. I know back in healing school days, Brother Keith Moore made the statement one day. I laughed because I thought, oh, my goodness, I run into so many people. That's the way they must think. He said, I think we'd get more people coming to healing school if we had rather than had them come and sit in the class for a few days before we lay hands on them, if we had a healing drive-through window.
Yep, that's right.
Yep. You know, you don't even have to get out of your car. Just roll the window down. What are you here for? Healing of the hoogamooga. Okay, be healed. Ha, praise the Lord. Drive off and go get an ice cream cone. I'm healed.
Come on. Come on.
That's the mentality people have. They have the mentality. They just live any old way in the world, any old way they want. Don't mind God. They're saved, you know, but that's all they got. They don't mind God. Don't mind his word. Don't follow his leadings in their life. Don't discipline themselves. A disciple is one who disciplines themselves to become a doer of what they've learned. A disciple is one who disciplines themselves to become a doer of what they learn. But some Christians don't want to live that way. They just want to live any way they want. This just kind of lived in the flesh. And then they get in trouble, and then they want to run into somebody that's got a healing anointing, have them lay hands on them, and then they want to go their way and go back to the way they live. You know, just living like the devil, living carnal, can't tell the difference between them and any old unsaved person out there. I got a newsflash for those folks. It don't work that way. Even if they get something, which sometimes they do, they aren't going to keep it, which isn't God's best. God's best is not getting something and losing it. Well, if it was really of God, I wouldn't lose it. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, hold fast that which thou hast. In other words, it can slip. Things that you and I have received from God can slip. How do they slip? By not holding on to them in faith. If you don't know how you got it, you don't know how to keep it. And if you don't know how you got it and you can't keep it, then you're not going to have God's best. You know, in the old days in the healing revival, back in the 40s and 50s, the sad statistic that people didn't want to talk about was most of those people lost those healings that they got. And I don't remember the percentage, but it's way up there. It's way over half. Probably more like 60, 70%, maybe even higher than that. Lost what they got. Why? Because they didn't know how they got it. They got it by somebody. They got it either by a gift of the Spirit, or they got it by a mass faith of the congregation, or, you know, a tangible healing anointing. That sure, it'll change things, but then you got to hold on to that. So a large percentage of them lost it. You understand? Here's a little nugget you need to understand also on that line. Most of those people could never go back to another one of those meetings and get it to work the second time. I'm talking about statistics now. They'd go back and say, well, I lost it. I got to get somebody to lay hands on me again. Most of them, I'm talking about like 90% of them. They would go back and try to get it again, and it wouldn't work. Somebody said, why wouldn't it work? Because God expects more out of them now. They know enough. They know about that healing is available. I mean, they should know it from the Word, but now they know it from their experience. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Hagin said, that's why I changed my ministry. I no longer just advertise the healing anointing and the vision from Jesus and so forth, him putting his hands in my hands, and no longer just advertise that, although he continued to do that. But he said, I had morning classes where I taught on faith. And he said, when people got it, they know how to keep it. They know how to keep it. And he said, that's called fruit that remains. That's better. That's better. That's better. Tell your neighbor that's better. So these reasons why some Christians are sick, they don't know. They don't know how to take advantage of it. Or some are on the devil's territory. Amen. Well, am I getting anything across to you? Do you realize 1 Peter 3:7 says in along this line, 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, lest your prayers be hindered. Notice that. You and I, what he's telling us, is you and I can hinder our prayers. Notice he didn't say, lest God won't heal you or answer your prayers or whatever. He didn't say it was on God's end. He said it's on our end. Lest your prayers be hindered. He said, don't do this, lest your prayers be hindered. In other words, he's talking about basically generally, I mean, if you want to summarize it, he's talking about the love walk. Walking in love with one another in the marriage. Walking in with honor towards one another. Respecting one another. Giving in to one another. I mean, you know what I mean. I'm talking about yielding to one another. Doesn't always have to be my way. My cat has the mentality, everything will be fine if it's all my way. I get my way. But it can't be that way in marriage. She gets grumpy. She wants to go outside and we don't let her for some reason because we're getting ready to leave or something. She gets grumpy. Well, see, as long as it's her way, she's all fine. But can't be that way in marriage. Tell your neighbor, there's a revelation. You should get a hold of that revelation. All the single folks said, thank you, Pastor. You saved me a lot of heartache. But our prayers can be hindered, he said. Tell your neighbor, that's not on God's end. That's on the receiving end. I don't like the thought of that. Guess what? If my prayers are hindered, what am I not going to have? God's best. I'm not going to have God's best. Here's another little thought. If I have hindered my prayers, you can't unhinder them by your faith. Can you? If you've hindered your prayers, I can't get past that with my faith. Lay hands on you until the hairs were worn off your head. Maybe that's what happened to Justin. I don't know. But I don't know. Maybe he's speaking faith. Maybe we better not counteract that. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's just so much power in him, it blows all the hair off his head or something. Anyway, but no, we can unhinder our prayers by turning and making the adjustments he's dealing with us about if we've hindered them. Here's another verse. I mean, all these verses go along the same line if you think about it. The Bible talks about in Matthew 13:15, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. I'm going back in the Old Testament. He talks about his people Israel. He said their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they hear with their ears, understand with their heart. Then he said, be converted. That means make a change, make a change. And then he said, and I should heal them. Notice in this case where the healing comes after making some adjustments.
That's right. That's right.
As a disciple, following on to know the Lord, coming into more light, and we understand things better now. When we come up to areas that the Word of God shows where we've been missing it, maybe it's the love walk. Maybe it's walking in strife. Maybe it's by living in anxiety and always being worried and troubled. Or there's so many things the Bible talks about. All those things, when we come up to the light of those things, then we've got to say, well, I got to make some changes here. Like take, for example, the one walking in love. First Peter there says, it hinders our prayers without doing that. And then goes on, says, he that would love life and see good days would be healthy days, wouldn't they? Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Hallelujah. There's more to healing than just faith and confession. Now let me say it this way. There's more available than healing. There's divine health. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? There's more available than healing. And it's divine health. And it's not walked in by just faith and confession alone. Amen? Hallelujah. If you and I are going to walk in divine health, we're going to have to practice Proverbs 4. My son, attend. Now, here's what people think it said, but it's not what it said. My son, attend to my healing word. Is that what it said? Attend to my words. Attend to my words. Attend to my words. Let them, my words, not depart from thine eyes. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them. And the Hebrew says medicine to all their flesh. So I'm going to attend to the healing word. That's not what it said. Attend to all my word. Healing word, the healing word's part of that. But if you're attending to the healing word, but you're ignoring the walking in love word, then something's going to block that. Because he didn't say just attend to my healing word. He said attend to my word. It's impossible to walk in divine health without constantly being washed in the water of the word. Washed in every area. Washed in our love walk. Washed in every area. Even when it's not complimentary, we've got to step up and say, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I discipline myself in the light of the word that I'm hearing. And that discipline is life and medicine to all my flesh. Praise God. You know, you can just keep taking medicine all the time. I'm talking about God's medicine. And it'll keep you from even getting sick. Anybody getting it? Praise the Lord. I love the thought. I love thinking about it. Because I want God's best. Tell your neighbor, that's what you're shooting for, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So much to say. But let's just say this here. Long life is called the will of God in the Bible, but it also sets conditions, doesn't it? And the conditions are walking in all the light you get. I'll just paraphrase some of these things. Walking in all the light you get. And it's going to take being a disciple, walking in all the word, all the light you and I get, regardless if it's complimentary or something we enjoy hearing or what. It's going to take all of that in order to get God's best. You can't get God's best by just laying on of hands and a tangible healing anointing. It's going to be developing a lifestyle that the Bible says is necessary for that health to operate. It's not works. It's called walking in the light. Amen? Praise the Lord. There are a lot of people that are Christians but aren't disciples. Isn't that right? A disciple is one, like I said, who disciplines themselves. But if you think about discipline, 1 Corinthians 11 says, and I think it's verse 32, it says, it talks there about receiving the communion. And then he said, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Paul had the same problem in his day. Many. He said many. And he said there are causes for these things. Not natural causes. Well, they didn't take enough vitamins. Well, if God leads you, fine. Dude, you got to do what God tells you to do. That's part of walking with God. If he says you need this. But yet, right on the other hand, he didn't say the cause is natural. A lot of these things are rooted spiritually, in spiritual issues. He said, for this cause many are weak and sickly. And then he said, but if we would judge ourselves, not one another, not you, me, you, judge ourselves. See, this is what a lot of Christians don't want to talk about. But this is also why they're struggling. Judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Part of being a disciple is whenever you or I come up to light, we judge ourselves on it.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Well, everybody's still happy. Say, still happy, Pastor. Still happy. We judge ourselves, he said, then we wouldn't be judged. In other words, we'll not get ourselves on Satan's territory where God says, I can't protect you there. Like Job had that hedge around him protecting him. We can get outside of that hedge. Job got out because of fear. Do you realize because you're breaking a spiritual law and therefore Satan has access to you, that doesn't mean you're an evil person. But there are laws that govern these things. There are laws that govern divine health. I'm not talking about medical health. I'm talking about divine health. And if we break a spiritual law and get on Satan's territory where Satan has access to it, doesn't mean we're evil people. We might just have done it ignorantly. You know? You realize the guy that doesn't realize that, you know, if he stands, he's working in a factory that has a, you know, a big electrical lever that shuts the factory down. He never has been over there to shut that down in an emergency, but there's an emergency arises. Somebody hollers at him, pull that lever. And he runs up there, stands in a puddle of water and pulls that thing down, and he gets electrocuted because he broke a law. He broke a natural law. How many of you know God didn't do that? Doesn't mean he was an evil person. He just broke a natural law. Or, you know, power goes down, electric wires go down, they go down into some water and somebody gets in there, you know, whatever. I don't know how that all works, but that doesn't mean they're an evil person. They just broke a law. Amen. Same thing can happen spiritually. Praise the Lord. How about the law there, the principle, the spiritual law in Proverbs 4? My son, attend. Attend to my words. Well, hallelujah. So there's more to healing than just faith and confession. That helps me. I don't know about you. To have God's best, you have to move beyond just faith and confession and accept all of God's word. If he's dealing with you about walking in love in your marriage, if he's dealing with you about tithing, if he's dealing with you about anything, whatever he's dealing with. I'm not the one dealing with you. God's the one deals with you. Well, but, you know, I don't know why he's dealing with me. I know so-and-so over there. They're not, let's just say it's tithing. They're not tithing. And look at them. They're getting the blessings of God. You better watch it. You better watch it. You cannot compare yourself to somebody else. They might not have the light you have. And so God's not expecting them to as much out of them yet.
Yet.
So they come, get healed every time we have a healing line. Woohoo, praise the Lord, get healed. Look at that, praise the Lord. But here's the thing, they can't expect that to work forever and ever, amen. Amen. Somehow or another, we've gotten people into the mindset that the answer to healing is always prayer. Well, yet there's many, many, many other things. In fact, here's a startling thought. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Startling when you actually think about it. See, in our minds, many, many modern day people that find out about healing and they realize, okay, I see God wants me to heal and so forth. And so they, and nothing wrong with this. I just need to explain this. They say, well, okay, I'm going to go to a church where it believes in that, have them lay hands on me and I'll be healed. They'll pray over me and I'll be healed or lay hands on me, whatever. That's fine. The Bible teaches prayer and healing. The Bible, James 5 says, if he's sick, let him call for the elders. Let them pray over him, anointing with oil in the name of the Lord. Pray of faith, save sick, and Lord, raise him up. But here's the thing. The people have one, they have a tunnel vision idea of that's all I got to ever do. Every time I need healing, I just go have the pastor lay hands on me, and that'll get you in trouble. The startling thought, the amazing revelation, if you want to actually look at it and challenge me, you might be in your mind, you might be challenged and say, well, that can't be true. But see, I've studied divine healing since 1990. Intensely for a good portion of that time. And here's the startling thing. Never one time in Jesus' earthly ministry did he ever pray for somebody that they be healed. Well, Pastor, I was reading this morning where people got healed. That's not what I said. I said he didn't pray for people to get healed. Multitudes got healed. Many individuals got healed, but we don't see him standing in front of one of them. We do see him laying hands on people, but we don't see him standing in front of one of them, laying hands on them and saying, I pray, Lord, that you would heal, God, Father God, that you would heal this person. Not a one. Not a single one. And yet multitudes were healed. So there's more to healing than prayer. Isn't that right? That's an amazing thought. Anybody enjoying this like me? It got on me Wednesday night, that old healing school days. And I got to enjoying it in my private time. So it's coming out. There's more to healing than just faith and prayer and confession. Amen. You don't always spell healing H-E-A-L-I-N-G. You don't always spell it P-R-A-Y-E-R. Or laying on of hands or anything like that. Remember, we read it in Exodus. If my people will keep my commandments and observe my statutes, I'll take sickness away from the midst of them. There's more to it than just prayer and healing. How about walking in the Word, walking, being a doer, walking in love, learning not to worry. Amen. Returning good for evil. Showing mercy when somebody has done you wrong. Amen. And blessing those who curse you. That includes in traffic. I have to learn that. That's where I practice, on traffic. People pull over in front of me. Where'd you get your... Oh, Lord bless them. Lord, forgive me. If you're going to love life and see many good days, you got to watch this tongue. And we barely got into the verses that really talk about all this. But hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, I'm really learning some things this morning. Somehow or another, like I said, we've got people in the mindset that, you know, it's always prayer and so forth. It's scriptural, all right, but most of the time prayer won't even be necessary for the believer if the door is closed to the devil. Well, I'm setting it too high, Pastor. Well, I didn't set it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to get this. I'm going to go further. I'm going to reach for the best God has for me. Now, I'll say something that you got to watch and not take it wrong. You got to not just, you can't make a blanket statement about everything and every situation. But, like, for example, I have noticed, this is not something I see in the Bible, okay, so you got to rightly divide what I'm saying. But I have noticed many, not everybody, I haven't said everybody, but many people who die of cancer, they have unforgiveness in their hearts. Not everybody. Tell your neighbor, he didn't say everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord. For this cause, the Bible said there are causes. There are times where God can no longer protect us because we just keep violating the Word. You know, there's a space of time to get things right. The Bible talks about space to repent. He'll give. You know, we come up to light and we're like, "Whoo, that's gonna be hard." Ooh, not speak evil, not speak critical about other people. Oh my God, help me, Jesus, have mercy. And so you start going to walk in the light, and you trip and stumble and fall. You know, God, when you get that light, God will give you time. I can show you that in the Word, because the book of Revelation says space to repent. But I can tell you about my experience. He gives us time to get that right. He gives us that space. But if we just kind of blow it off like, I can't do that, that's too hard, and don't start putting our foot to that area of our lives, eventually that'll catch up with us. I didn't say God will get you for it. I'm just saying that hedge of protection won't be there anymore. And then people want to get in the healing line and say, pray for me. And no amount of prayer is going to change that. No amount of prayer is going to change that. Amen. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Can Christians today still give place to the devil? Must so, if this verse wouldn't be in here. Why would he write that if we can't do it? Well, I'm delivered from his authority, and he doesn't have a right in my life. No, not unless you give place to him. When you or I give place to him, he has a right to access us. But notice the way that's written. Neither give place to the devil. That means we can give him no place. He can't take it unless we give it. Wow. Wow. Whoa, did that hit you like it hit me? He cannot take it unless you give it. Now, you or I can give it ignorantly. We can give it knowingly. We can give it consciously or unconsciously. But right on the other hand, if we give it, he takes it. He takes it. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk in all the light. How about you? I said, I'm going to walk in all the light. Praise God. Judicially, we've already been healed. But there are conditions. Most Christians don't like that. God never changes. The healing covenant never changes. Healing's still ours, but we aren't in position sometimes. Sometimes it's just a lack of knowledge. Sometimes it's don't know how to appropriate it. But sometimes it's like it's things that God's been dealing with us about that we haven't been dealing with. Well, in those times, whenever we're God's dealing with us, we can't just run to church and you know, kind of like going into the casino, pulling the big, the what's that arm they call that, you know, pulling that lever. And out comes the money. We can't just run to church and pull the heavenly lever and out comes healing out of the heavenly slot machine like, woohoo, praise the Lord, I'm going out to live like the devil again. That don't work. Don't work. Did you get anything out of the word this morning? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You getting those nuggets, all those nuggets? How about doctors? Let's talk about doctors before we go any further. This won't take a long time. Doctors, we thank God for doctors, don't we? I've been there, I needed them. So don't think I'm getting down on you. If I'm getting down on you, I'm getting down on myself. I've been there, needed them, went and got it fixed, you know. But we have to acknowledge from the scriptures, doctors are not God's best. Is it sin? Absolutely not. I mean, go get it cut out, live another day, serve Jesus. Or live without pain, serve Jesus, you know. Praise God for that. You know, God in his mercy, he's so good. All his goodness. He's even given us a natural safety net underneath all these divine methods.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because he's so good, he wants the people to be free in this area. The devil didn't give all these doctors all this knowledge. I think in some areas they're in the wrong track, but right on the other hand, there's a lot of good out of it. You understand? But yet, right on the other hand, we have to acknowledge doctors aren't God's best. Well, what if I had to go to the doctor? Well, you go at the level you can receive at. But don't go to the doctor and say, well, that's the way it's going to have to be for me the rest of my life. No, there's something better. There's something better. And you can keep on rising up. Keep on rising up. There's no condemnation in going to a doctor. Brother Hagin used to say, if I can't receive $2 million, I'll take $1 million. Same way with a doctor. If you can't receive without going to a doctor, go to a doctor. Get all fixed up. Get all restored up. You know, they're really on the same side we're on. They're against the sickness and working against sickness and disease. They're not evil. They're just not the best God has for them. People find that out when some doctor makes a mistake. It's like, whoops. Well, there is something better here. Just know, as we close, tell your neighbor that means he's beginning to commence to think about. While you're going to that doctor, just keep on letting the word purge you. And like John 15 said, go to the level of bearing more fruit. More fruit. And then much fruit. And then fruit that remains. And just keep on going for more. And it's through the word purging you, like John 15 talks about. And you can expect eventually to get to the place you get God's best. Amen. Well, what if I have to go to a doctor? Sure beats dying, I'll tell you. Sure beats dying. But just know that, you know, that's responsibility. Well, I don't want to take all that responsibility. That's right, but you got somebody to help you. I said, you got somebody to help you. And he'll get you there if you keep on walking with him. He'll get you there. Well, I might have to make some changes. Oh, has it come to that? Is it really? Is it? You mean you're like all the rest of us? Oh, my goodness. That's an amazing revelation. You're not perfect yet. Well, what about the light I don't have? The light you don't have. I wouldn't bother about it as much as the light you do have. Just walk in the light you do have. But you got to realize some people, God spoke to them, sent them to a place where they would get more light, and they didn't listen to that. And eventually, where they should have been spiritually, because they're not there, then it starts catching up with them. I tell young people all the time, young people hear this, it might not show up immediately. You know, the path you choose. Your friends might look like you graduated from high school. Woohoo, they're out there serving the devil. Man, they got money. They're out there serving the devil. But just wait a few years. They're partying. Woohoo, got the nice car. They got it all. Just wait a few years. Until somebody hits them with a pipe on the side of the head in that drug deal they're making. And they lost an eye, and then their wife divorces them, and then their kids leave because daddy's never home, and their life falls apart, and they get caught. Now they're in jail.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Everly's ministry,
amen. Let's all stand. Thank God for the truth.
SOFFC.org. Or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.